Good morning. If you're just joining us, we sang, "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving." We're going back and looking at old scripture songs, and there's a touch on them still, and it puts the word inside of us at the same time. And everybody said,
amen.
Today I want to talk to you about two words, power, praise. They go together. Power, praise. They go together. These words just go together, don't they? I mean, if you understand the fullness of it, you know, we didn't have a lot of revelation in many years, and even in typical churchism, we didn't have the revelation in the thing of the power that is in praise. In fact, some of you might have grown up in maybe traditional type situations where this it was actually called the preliminaries, it's called just the song service. I'm so glad, you know, when I started doing this, they called us the song leader, but we got a dignified promotion somewhere along the way, and they called us the worship leaders, and I think that was a little bit better than the song leader. Song leader sounds like Sunday night, y'all sing anything you want, but you understand what I'm saying? There's power in praise, and let's not forget the revelation. It's not the preliminary. Today, I want to talk to you about, I'm going to do a song checkup, a song level, but at the very same time, I'm reminded of the word used to hear on pop radio, the hits keep coming. The hits keep coming on a whole lot of levels right now. And the only way to take the hits, the only way to absorb the hits is having a strong power praise life. Stand to your feet as we make our affirmation in the word. Oh yeah, it's a good day. It is a great day. Day the Lord hath made. Hold it up. Make a loud affirmation. Say it with me. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Say it again. We say it twice. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Now, culture, current culture today, I'm going to talk about culture a little bit later on, a few weeks down the road. Culture says all of this backwards. Okay, this is backwards. The word, put it back up for me, sweetheart, if you would. The it is not the foundation. It's not the foundation at all. It is not, it is the last resort. And the first call is in ourselves, leaning to our own understandings. And we don't think that it has, we actually divide it. We have a secular thing and we have a spiritual thing. And unless we understand that we are a being and all these things come together, we still don't get it. And it's because we do not believe line one. This word is wise. Be seated in Jesus' name. I know this is good today. I'm going to tell you how good this is. Psalm 147 verse 1 says it this way. It is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Praise is beautiful. 147, for it is pleasant to sing praises unto our God. And that's a word that we have right there. Today, I want to talk to you about something that is powerful, something that is spiritual. Let the word be strong right now. I have a statement to make for you right now. Praise is strong. Praise is powerful. Praise can change the atmosphere. Praise is strong. And it's not just the happy stuff. Praise is powerful. Matter of fact, we understand that we are actually do warfare. It's a spiritual warfare that takes place when praise is churning inside of us. It was the singers in the history of Israel. It was the singers that led forth in that battle. And it was their praise that shook the other people. We sang a gospel song a couple years ago. The presence of the Lord is here. I can feel it in the atmosphere. Now, every church, every ministry has a unique DNA, and I was saying that to you a few minutes ago. We don't fit every little thing, and we're not trying to. In our personal history, in our legacy, in the legacy that some of us jointly feel together, we have a special history, and we also have a special anointing in the area of praise. Today, a lot of times people, when they come and say, gee, that was good worship today, actually what they're saying, this is how it made me feel. And it has nothing to do with
with how it made us to feel. Because if we seek first His kingdom, the feel is going to come a little bit later. Instead of saying, "How did it make you feel? I didn't get anything. I didn't feel anything." It's not about you. It's not about you. How did we honor God? How did we lift up His name? What did we say? The purpose of worship is to glorify God, and the saints are edified. See, that's the power of us coming together right now. The saints are edified as we worship together in spirit and in truth. And there's a rich thing that happens when we sing scripturally based songs with lyrics that came out of the word that will strengthen. I know this is a good word. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell. This is good. It is a good thing to sing praises. However, when I read Psalm 147:1 and say it's a good thing to sing praises, that starts with a problem before I get there. Because right before 140, you see verse chapter 137. And there's a problem. How many of you know that circumstance can make praise tough? Got it? We can all praise on Easter Sunday. He's risen. Yeah. And we're just smiling and waving at one another because He lives. We can do that. But man, there are times when we're down and out, and you need to be saying, "I can't sing. I'm very upset right now. You don't know. The world is falling apart. I can't sing." By the way, you need to remind yourself, that thing in you that tries to stop you from praying, stops you from praising and singing, that thing knows that there will be power if you'll jump into that and do that. So just get a little bit of an attitude. Like the children of Israel, they came out. They didn't just walk out like this when they're out of Egypt. It said they came out with a high hand. What it is. All right. And they walked out and they had been delivered, and they picked up their back wages, and they had things dangling from their wrist. Bye, y'all. And things like that. There's power in that right now. Well, it's hard to sing sometimes. We want to dance and sing, but sometimes it's hard. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon. By the way, that was not familiar territory to them. It's easy to sing praise when you're in familiar territory. But when you're in a dark place, a difficult place, a place where you actually feel bound in your spirit, that is a foreign place. It's not familiar. And by the way, they were there against their will. And it said, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down. Bad move number one. In the bad place, don't stop, don't sit down. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Not yea, though I build my house there and sit there and cry and try to get people to weep. I walk through. They sat. That's bad move number one. I have a problem, and I understand that. I can't help it. But if I feel I'm in something that's not, I stand up. I can't do it. We were in a thing one time. I didn't plan to tell this. We were in a thing many, many years ago, and before Jeff came on the scene. And as good parents, we were reading every little thing that we had to do, and we'd never been here before. And it was very difficult. And we were reading everything we could read. And she told me, she said, "There's going to be a safety class about babies and how to take care of those babies and to do that." We're going to go. I said, "Fine, let's go. I'm dutiful, and I want to be able to help there." And we get there in a minute, and I'm going. I'm waiting for the lesson on safety, and then all of a sudden I'm listening and I'm starting putting two and two together, and all of a sudden he's selling a product. He's doing something, and he said, "See," and they're showing these pictures of a baby getting his head caught in the thing they sit in. You know what I'm talking about, right? They didn't care about us. We flew out of swings. We were blown off merry-go-rounds. We put our mouths on faucets. Linda used to jump in ditches with her cousins and that had snakes in them. She just jumped through them. They didn't ask. Their only rule was be home when the street light comes on. That's all we had. And now we went to this deal there, and this guy said, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you." I said, "No, I'm okay right now." Stop, you're embarrassing. He's selling me. He's not telling me the truth here. And we walk into the, and he said, "Come on into this." Before you could leave, you had to go meet him in the side. "Well, have a seat." "No, I'm not. I'm standing. I'm going to stand." Did I stand? I said, "I'm going to stand." And she was a little awkward like that. Look, pal, I thought, you know, thank you very much. "Yeah, but you read my lips." "No, I'm leaving." You sit down, you get caught.
and there we wept. You think? And for a time, weeping's okay. There's a time, but there's a time to stop, as it says in the Word. But we wept when we remembered Zion. These people had a problem every time. They'd beg God. God bail them out. He and Moses would go back and forth. And it depended on what was going on at the time, whether God claimed them or whether Moses claimed them. And there was always this adversarial thing going on between. And they said, when we said, you remember how good it was back then? That's like people. I remember the first time that I changed some schedules. And a Sunday night schedule, you know. People I hadn't seen in 20 years in the church, and I changed a Sunday night. I started getting letters from them like I had sold out the Holy Trinity. And like, I can't believe it. I'm thinking, you haven't been here in 10 years. What does it matter to you right now? But they look back and get fond, and this revisionist thing comes over them. Well, here's what happens a little bit further. They flat gave up. It said, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it, where they were. By the way, they didn't just lose their song, they gave up their song. And there's a big difference there right now. There's a big, you might hit a bad patch, as we all do and as we all will, and we've got to work through and bust through those things. But it's another thing just to flat give up. I quit. I'm not going to sing anymore. In fact, I'm just going to hang my instrument up here on this tree. They surrendered. They gave up. They quit. There's no quit in the covenant child. There's no quit anywhere with the covenant child right now. It said, and now watch this now. For there, where's there? In that strange place. Got it? For there, those who carried us away captive asked us for a song. Those who plundered us requested mirth. How's that for some nerve? They plundered you. They kidnapped you. They took you captive, and then they wanted you to sing on cue? Fat chance. There's no song. I'm hanging up my instrument. I'm even going to sit down. You're going to have to pick me up and move me right there. But notice something. You remember when I said, whenever you feel the tendency and the thing to want to stop praying, stop worshiping, stop reading the Word there, remember, there is something. Ask yourself, what is that making me to want to stop? And it will always go back to there. The enemy knows the power of the song, of the Word, of your prayer, of your devotion. That's why it says unceasing. Linda told me something this morning in the car. She said, you know, people think they pray something one time and it's done. No, there's something that happens as we boom, we're bombarding, we're hitting, we're over and over and doing that right now. It said, for they carried us, those who carried us away, ask for a song. Those who plundered us requested mirth. Sing one of your songs from Zion. By the way, the enemy knew who they were. Got it? The enemy knew what they could do. The enemy loved what they heard. The enemy loved even what they felt. They wanted their blessing, but they did not want their God. Now listen at it very carefully. Especially the New Orleans culture, the way it is. Take the Jazz Fest, for example. You go into that gospel tent there, and people come in, and they're, it's just an eclectic, it's a sociology project walking in there, I'll tell you that right now. And you'll get people who have lived their life with no regard for God. No regard for God at all. Their lives, he's not the first call. They do not think it's wise. They are wise in their own sight. And something happens inside of them, and they're swaying, and they're raising their hands there, like imitating maybe what they think they saw. And you see somebody, I'm going to lay down my bed, and they'll start doing that, and they'll be swaying, or they'll sing amazing, and they'll start weeping right there. You know, something's coming over. When the saints, they're dancing, and there's umbrellas and things like that. Sing those songs that y'all used to sing. I really loved it. My grandma used to sing those things. Or I remember seeing those things on TV. Maybe my generation comes up. My mama used to play the gospel singing Jubilee on Sunday mornings, and we'd sing those songs with Howard and Vestal. The people, they may not appreciate your God, but they want to feel your God. They want the blessing of your God right now. And notice in verse 4, and finally, in a retort, almost in a
And just how you expect us to do it attitude, they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land or a strange land? And I should say, around some strange people. Come on, dance. Do your tricks for us. Well, we loved what we felt, but they didn't want their God right now. By the way, when you read Psalm 137, Psalm 137 is basically called a song of sorrow. Because God's people had been carried into captivity, and as a result, they not did they just lose the thing they had inside, but they refused to sing forth. And many people today have lost a song before God and have refused. They've given up because of circumstance and discouragement and fear and intimidation. Hence, you lose joy. You lose an excitement. You lose a devotion that we should have toward God if there is a praise coming out. And when you are in a strange place, the song stops. Back a few years ago when I was doing regular videos for you guys when we weren't here together, and the go word was, I really felt strong, was don't lose your song. Don't lose your song in that. And I hit it over and over. I wrote articles about it. I did radio interviews. I did Charisma podcast on that concept. Don't lose your song. And as it goes, it gets harder and harder. Why? Because you are in a strange land. So, but you got to keep going right now. When you're in a strange place, the song will stop. And in your despair, you'll stop singing. That was then. But today, right now, even the people of God are in a strange land. We're in a strange land right now. And they want you to be able to stand in your little church and sing your little songs. You're no threat there. You're no threat there. But if you walk into a school board room, but if you walk into a business thing and that things and you dare to question that, you'll be arrested right now. I have a story that I read early this morning of a woman going in front of a school board. By the way, the NEA, and most of the teacher unions in America are anti-American and anti-American family. And this person stood up in front of a school board and asked if she could see the curriculum of her five-year-old child. They sued her. They went after her. They took her to court. I hope she sues their brains out. In Jesus' name, amen. But today we are in a strange place. And when you're in a strange place, don't hang up your harp. Don't sit down. Get churning, because power praise is real. And if you don't believe me, let me just tell you, hell knows that power praise is real. Hell wants to stop power praise. Because praise is a force. Why is it a force? Number one, God shows up. God shows up. God shows up. Don't stop. That's why I said to Lynn, say, sing a little louder. They want you quiet. Sing a little louder. We've all fallen in love with sweet little Riley Gaines, and she just is tough as she can be. Don't let that blonde hair fool you. She's tough, huh, Lindy? She's a sweetie. And she's got a right. She's got a right, you know. Here she is getting in the swimming lane, you know. And there she is. She's a champion getting ready. And over there, there's this long, gangly girl with an Adam's apple out to here, you know, standing there with these long arms. And she's saying, this ain't right. That's a strange land. That's real strange right there. And you know what she's, put up what Riley Gaines said the other day on the news. She said, when they want you silent, speak louder. That girl is a prophet. She's a patriot, but she's a prophet right there. She says she's launched a brand new center at the Leadership Institute. It will fight for the movement to erase women. Now that is the bottom line of all that right now. And for falling for that right now, you are erasing the role of the woman there right now. I'm not going to go into all of that, but this is the boldness that you need to have right now. And they're trying to stop her. They're going to do everything they can. They're going to find out if she tore a tag off of a mattress when she was 4 years old at her grandmother's house. And they're going to try to put that on there and try to arrest her. They'll try something stupid right now. But when you get, sing a little louder.
it's time in the strange land to sing a little louder. We can war with our praise. If you don't feel like praising, force it. Praise louder, because something else is forcing you not to pray. Today I want to do a checkup on your power of praise. It starts in Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name most high, to declare. Now notice these things here. There's three things here in your praise, power praise pickup right now. First off, you need to know it is good to give thanks, to sing, to declare your loving kindness and your faithfulness. And then it talks about the instruments and things like that. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. Oh, Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. By the way, do you know the Lord's thoughts are deeper than yours? How many of you are glad for that right now? Verse 6, I don't think it'll be up there, but verse 6 says it this way. A senseless man, nor does a fool understand this. A senseless man and a fool does not understand it. And by the way, the foolish-minded man will not understand a bunch of what I'm saying right now. The foolish man does not understand the power of praise right now. The New Living says a senseless man. By the way, I'm going to just paraphrase some of this, but there's a real key for you. Remember when I said together, coming together, lifting up our voice? Psalm 92 telling us how to declare. Psalm 92 also gives us a real key in the power and the strength as we come together, by the way. Verse 13 says it this way. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the earth of our God. You have a better chance of keeping strong as you come together every week like this. As you come together, as you assemble with others of like faith, when you open your mouth, it's one thing to be by yourself, and we all need those times there, but you need that. You need to have that thing going on. Why? What is in God's house? There's a lot of things in God's house. God, and by the way, we line up and we can enumerate the problems in God's house. We're going to find it everywhere. And as long as people are in God's house, there will be problems. But as we come together, we look for life. We look for love. There's food in God's house. There's direction in God's house. There's equipping in God's house. There's safety. This is how we learn to grow. This is how we learn to cope. This is how we learn to praise. Did you know that? Paul said, you might not understand it, but just watch me as I follow Christ. Imitate him. Do that right. And you learn as you sing, and you don't pick that up by yourself. There's that is part of the power praise. There's another thing that contemporary church today, boy, I wish I'm going to talk about. Not only are they doing away with the concept of the role of the woman, they wanted to do away with the concept of our individuality. Amen. He's made us so unique, fearfully and wonderfully made, as our thumbprints, as our eye print. That doesn't just happen right now. As the sands, and you look at that, that just doesn't happen right. But the goal is to get you regimented right now. The goal is to get you regimented. I wanted to call to order something at a place the other day, and while I'm over, we would like for you to go to our website and you can order it there. No, I want to talk to a human because I don't want tomato on that, and I don't want to do that. But they want you regimented. They want you to do that so it's uniform. So you cannot have that personal thing there. So never lose that. I'm going to go into that in a few weeks. And one thing we've lost in the church, even in our gathering, it's one simple word, harmony. Harmony on different levels. Harmony on different levels. Harmony. Harmony is a beautiful thing. By the way, you can't do harmony by yourself. You have to have someone else. Not only a harmony of understanding, a harmony of fellowship, but actually in the singing itself. And you listen to things right now, and they're singing it in one lead line. But yet there's not somebody, da, 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 and somebody else could take the bottom, da, 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 and then da, 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 and you could fill out a whole. And when that's all done together and the harmony comes together, and you hear Bill Gaither says, there's something spiritual about four-part harmony. And when you hear it and it comes together, you go, what is that? You don't hear that anymore. And don't let the culture take away your harmony. Famed Baptist pastor Paige Patterson said it this way, Christianity is the faith of harmony.
When we look at the Gospels together, and you do a study of the Gospels, and you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you go into a class, and a study class, they actually, you know what they call it when you study them together? They call it the harmony of the Gospels, how the Gospels fit together, intertwined. So you are, when you come, Paul talks about, when some of you have a song, some of you have an encouragement, but some of you are there. There's something that happens you can't get by yourself under the tree, singing the song and praying the prayer. Christianity is a faith of harmony in what we believe, in what we sing, and even how we gather. He said, give thanks to the Lord, sing praises, declare his loving kindness. Well, I don't know what to say. Just start. One gospel writer said it this way, it's impossible to exaggerate the greatness of our God. You can't go too far. Start there and get crazy, man. Get on out there. Get on out there and start saying those things. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by nothing is too difficult for thee. So you can take care of this thing right now. Make yourself sing it. Make yourself talk it. Make yourself praise him for his greatness. It is good. I remember just being red in the face telling people, don't lose your song. That's the only thing I could hear. And here we are, and they conned you into what was going on. 15 days was actually 145 days, something like that. Misdirection on purpose. Misery on purpose. Submission on purpose. Malfeasance on every level. But I go back to my biggest praise thought. I'm not supposed to sit down in the strange place. I'm not supposed to relinquish my instruments right here. I'm supposed to stand because there's power in our praise. I told you God lives there. That's out of Psalm 22, by the way. A lot of times people cherry pick verses that they want to do. A lot of people that speak, they have an opinion, and then they got to find if there's a scripture to match it. You know, that's kind of the way it goes sometimes. And you can know the difference after you listen a while. But when I mention Psalm 22, where it says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people, Psalm 22 is actually called the Psalm of the Cross. There's some difficulty there. It is a song of suffering. It is a song of praise at the same time. And here's David crying out to God. Now watch this, Psalm 22. Now this is before the beautiful Psalm 23. And we land on there, but something had to get him to Psalm 23. He said, my God. Does that sound like that David is in a strange place? Does that sound like he might not be physically in a strange place, but in here, he's in a strange place. Why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I'll cry out to you in the daytime and you don't hear. And a lot of people would say, so God's silent, so I guess I'll quit. I don't see that anywhere. And David tells us that. He said, so in the night season, I am not silent. I'm not stopping this. But notice his understanding of the power of who. It's not based on our affirmation of, I think I can. It is based on who God is. Notice this. Verse 3, he said, but, or you could say, in spite of everything I'm saying, God, you are holy. That's how you start, by the way. That's how you start. You are holy. You are enthroned in the praises of Israel, or you inhabit the praises. Now, in this moment, he is showing you and me there's an understanding of power praise. I don't feel like I'm getting through, but nevertheless, you are holy. And you live in that praise. There's a few things going on here. First, you got a cry of agony from a godly person. Okay, he wasn't a sinner. So you can relate to that. He's crying out. He has yet to see his deliverance. Anybody like that? It is also, though, a very prophetic pronouncement of the unthinkable agony that Jesus was going to go through. That's why it is related as a psalm to the cross, because Jesus actually prays a prayer, this same prayer, when he's calling out, why have you, what, forsaken me? But nevertheless, got it? So you see what we're saying here, the power of that. It is a revelation, when David gave it, it was a revelation without complete understanding. Does that make sense? It's really partial. It was a revelation, though, without a full understanding. It doesn't quite even understand the full power of what he's saying, nor does he totally understand the future fulfillment that we can see from even this perspective. He didn't know everything. He just knew that God was his only hope. That's how you start your power praise. Bottom line, he knows everything about our struggles. Why? Because he experienced in all points. He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Some of us, I say us, have been praying prayers seemingly over and over again. Been believing for something we have not seen yet. I'm with you there. Here's what you're going to do tomorrow. You're going to pray him again. And on Tuesday, you're going to pray him again. You're going to get up and go about your way. Do what you know to do. Oh God, I'm in a strange place. Why have you forsaken? You're so far from helping me. Even in the night, see, I'm not going to stop. God, I'm going to sleep now, but I want you to know when I wake up, I'm coming right back with this. In this moment. But he has been touched by our feelings, by our infirmity, in our bodies and in our minds. Now, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to summarize it, because you read it later for personal devotion a little bit later from right now. When he moves away from that, and if you go through verse 4 through about verse 11, he gives a history lesson. Now, this will help you, by the way, if you go back and read what he actually says here. He gives a history lesson because he does very much the pattern like Moses did when Moses hit the wall. And from verse 4, it's a history time. He gives a history reminder. He said, our covenant fathers trusted you. They trusted and you delivered. They cried to you, we're delivered. They trusted you, they were not ashamed. But I'm but a worm. Am I just a worm? I'm the reproach of all men, despised by the people. All those who seek to kill me, they're ridiculing me. They shoot from the lip. You heard shooting from the hip? They shoot from the lip. They shake their head saying, he trusted in God. Na, 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 na. And let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. By the way, did you see the people at the cross saying the same thing to Jesus? He's given a history lesson and a prophecy in 22. This is like way cool. Your faces are going, yeah, that's nice. But I'm telling you, it blew my brains, man, when I saw it. You were seeing the very same thing. Do you understand? In your hand, on your phone, on your iPad, you are reading and something that the thread has never been broken. That's power praise, kids. And in verse 10, he says, I just want to remind you. By the way, praise can start out by reminding God of his faithfulness. Verse 10, he said, I was cast upon you from my birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Gee, that's real great. In verse 11, he said, don't be far from me, for trouble is near and there's nobody here to help me. That's verse 11. Now, notice in this, and here's where the Christians get off on the wrong foot. I know somebody, I ask him, oh, don't say that. Don't ask us. No, you're hurting. No, I'm not hurting. Yeah, you're doubled over right now. You got to do something about that. It's hanging by a bone there that's broken. I'm fine. You can't use it. But it's, no, you're not fine. No, you're not fine. And it's at those points in time that we go back, we read Psalm 22, and we see it as David, what David went through in real time, and what Jesus brought through us in future time, and what we're dealing with in current time right now. That'd be a good message. I like that. There's no denying the circumstance. There's no denying of circumstance from David or anyone in Scripture. But that's where your power praise needs to crank up. So watch David. David had his come to God moment. He said all those things. He screamed, God, where are you? He gave a history of his life. And then all of a sudden, he blows out of the phone booth with an S on his chest in verse 22, where he said, I will declare. Now, what does that mean? Well, they tell you when you go into English, in one of the sentences you're going to write, it is called what kind of sentence? A declarative sentence. You're going to write, he said, I will declare your name to my brethren. Did it change anything that he was going through at the moment? Nuh-uh. In the midst of the assembly, that's the harmony coming together there, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, y'all ought to be praising him, all you descendants. He was up on his top feet right then. He's pointing and he's bringing them all in. I mean, he's not taking any prisoners. All you descendants of Jacob, you need to glorify him. All you that fear him, all you offspring of Israel. That's us, y'all. This is great historical significance, but it is great spiritual power to what we do. This is good. Sometimes we get slammed. Sometimes we just want to hang up our harps and sit down, especially when we are in a strange place in our lives. We can't give up. We can't sit down. We can't. You don't have scripture to even back it. You're on your own. He's not your first call. He is your last resort at that. In this life, we all have feelings. We all have experiences. We all have circumstances that are not conducive to praise. Pain, persecution, fear, physical and emotional fear, by the way, torment, ridicule. Some of us deal with profound disappointment. It's real. It's real. Nothing worse when you're down in one of those moments to have Joe Christian come by and go, oh, snap out of you. That's not really. No, it's real, baby. It's real. It's real. When you're going through it, somebody said puppy love is real to the puppy. And when you're going through those things, we need somebody to say, let's go up to Zion. Let's go lift up our songs right now. That's where this, and some of us fight memories of loss. We sat by the rivers of Babylon and we remembered what it was back there. Some of us are going through difficult and we're not singing because our heart has gotten hard. Some of us are not singing today because there is sin that we've not dealt with. And it may not be you're not robbing Capital One, but there is something in your heart and life that you're holding on to that does not help the flow of praise. We've all had personal derailing experiences. And what we needed most was the song to get through. She reminded me on the bridge when she's laying there in and out of consciousness. And I already had to sign the paper that said if they get in there, they're taking her kidney out because it's filled with blood. I already had to sign it. I had no choice. And I called like you and different ones, and we prayed. And she's laying there, and she's in and out, and she's singing, forget not all of his benefits. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Who healeth all thy diseases, crowns thee with loving kindness, who redeems my life from destruction. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What psalm is that, baby? Psalm 103. Wake up her in the night. She can sing it. They walk out and say, we don't know what happened, but everything seems to be fine. We've all had those experiences. The song and the power praise will get you through because it's powerful. How do we keep singing in a strange land? We just sing. How do we speak in a strange land? We just speak it. How do we praise in the strange? We praise him. Praise has no expiration date. The song doesn't just speak to God. It speaks to us too. So let's grab this right now and let it begin to flow. John tells us, John wrote it in chapter 7, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Everybody stand up right now. Our praise prepares us for the word of God. Our praise prepares us for the word of God. It prepares us to live life on this planet. If you're waiting to be taken away, it's going to happen, but it's not going to be now, and it may be a while for some of you before it happens right now. But the praise will prepare you for this planet, and the praise plans you, prepares you for his coming and what you'll be doing through the ages of eternity right now. Your power praise is your secret weapon. When do you start? You start now. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm hurting. My prayers haven't been answered. I'm still praying the same prayer over and over. Another one of our mentors, Dick Iverson, said it this way. The best place to go when you are hurting is the presence of God. The best place to go when you are hurting is the presence of God. This message is not over. I'll be coming back to it, as you can well feel. And another reason I'm coming back to it is we're going to have more storms. We'll have bigger storms. They're coming. So I admonish you to sing a little louder. Presence of the enemy. Sing a little louder. Louder than the unbelief. One more time. Sing a little louder. His weapon is the melody. Sing a little louder. Thank you, Lord.